And appreciate the love that we always feel here whenever we come. There's never been a time that we've came to preach or to visit that we didn't feel welcome. And I'm thankful for that. Some of you preachers know that's not how it is everywhere. Right? Amen. But we're certainly thankful that that's the way it is here. Thank you. He brought me two cups. He wanted me to preach a long time. Amen. Appreciate Brother Kevin asking us to come. I asked him whenever he asked me, I said, are you sure you want me to come? Because you've got all these real good preachers sitting here. And he said that the Lord had laid me on his heart. So if the Lord's in it, I want to be in it. Amen. And I can't promise you anything tonight other than I'll try my best to mind the Lord. Got something that the Lord stirred in my heart some time back, made me real happy in my heart, amen, and seemed like over the last week or so he had started stirring it in my heart again, and then when Brother Kevin asked us to come preach tonight, I felt pretty certain that this is where the Lord would have us be, but now I can't bring the message, amen, I can't do anything for your heart, I can't do a thing to help you. So if the Lord don't get in the middle of it, this will be real short. Amen. But if he does, why, hopefully there'll be some help for everybody in the place. I hope that everybody in the place is born again. As far as I can tell, every one of you are. As far as I can tell, ain't none of you. Amen. Ain't no way for me to know. Amen. But I'll tell you this, if what you've got ain't good enough to get you out of the liquor store, I wouldn't trust it to keep me out of hell. Amen. Amen. If it ain't good enough to keep you out of some of those places that the name of God ought not be mentioned, I wouldn't trust it to keep me out of hell. Amen. But I'm glad I've got something that I can rest in. I ain't trying to be a smart aleck, but that's right. Amen. Folk run around hollering, I'm saved and living like the devil all the time, just bringing the name of the Lord down, marring it in the mud. I think his blood was a little more precious than that. Amen. And if we're going to be living that way, we probably ought not never mention the name of Jesus. Amen. But I tell you what, get your heart right, you'll quit living that way. Amen. Then you can talk about Jesus all you want to. It'll be real good. Amen. I believe that's right. We're not saved by works, but you get saved, you'll live right. I believe that. Amen. All right, if you got your Bibles, I done killed it before I even got started. If you got your Bibles, Genesis chapter 1. We'll look in Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 5. That's where we'll take, amen, our start anyway. I may be flipping quite a bit tonight because what I've got on my heart, I just want to prove it in the Scriptures. I believe we ought to preach the Bible. Amen, because the Bible works. We're begotten by the Word. Paul told Timothy, he said, preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. He didn't say nothing about poems and stories and all those things. He said, preach the Word. Now, I understand there's times where we can use a few stories to bring parallels and examples and those kind of things. But I believe the Word of God still works, don't you? Amen. So we'll try our best just to mind the Lord. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 said, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And then if you'll flip over to chapter 5, in verse 1, it said, this is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image, and called his name Seth. And that's as much as we feel like reading. Father in heaven, as we come before you once again, Lord, we're real thankful for your love and your mercy. And God, for this opportunity to stand behind your desk once again. And God, you know my heart and my desire in that to do no more or no less than just to honor you with the word. And God, to try to be a help and a blessing to this people. God, I'm not even interested in preaching good. I just want to be obedient to the Holy Ghost tonight. And I pray, Lord, that somewhere between my mouth and their ears that you would just take the words that's spoken. And Lord, that you would minister to the hearts of your people. I pray, oh God, that you would hide us behind the cross of Christ, that you would help us, Lord, to say real good things about you. Lord, that you would set a guard about my mouth and my tongue, that I would say nothing that would be out of the way or that would bring reproach. But Lord, that we would only magnify the holy name of Jesus. I pray tonight, God, that you would give us good spiritual ears, that we might hear what the Spirit would say to the church. I pray, God, that you would give us good clarity of thought and clarity of heart. Lord, that you would make preaching real easy, and God, that your word would find a safe place in our heart, and that it would take root and that it would spring up and bring forth fruit in some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold as you see fit. Lord, I can never thank you enough for how good you've been to me. And I pray, oh God, if there be something that's standing between me and you, some sin, Lord, that I've dishonored you with, I pray, oh God, that you'd forgive me of it. And Lord, that you'd just make us a clean vessel here tonight. Lord, that we might minister in the gospel for just a little bit of time. And Lord, that you and you alone would be glorified and magnified. And it's in the name of Jesus that we ask these things. Amen, amen. We appreciate, amen, your attention and standing for the reading of the word. And I don't really have anything new tonight, and that's okay. Amen. But I'm glad that we don't even have to look for anything new, that this same old book still works. Amen. But I got to thinking some time back. Amen. And really, it was a scripture that caused me to start going this way, not the worldly side of it. But I used to be a big sports fan, Brother Josh, and I'm not much anymore. I just don't have time for it. But for years and years, we know that college athletes, they were not allowed to be paid. They were not, there were none of those things that, they couldn't even be gifted certain things. It was against the rules. They were to be amateurs. They could not be paid. And the universities were making millions and millions of dollars off of these athletes, right? And they got to looking at it, and they decided that it really wasn't fair to the athlete that they could use those athletes and their name and their images and those things and make so much money off of them, and the athlete not be able to benefit from that at all. Just bear with me. This will make sense in a minute. So they developed a new system where the athletes were allowed to get paid. And it's called an NIL system, right? And I don't know all the ins and outs of it, but NIL stands for this: name, image, and likeness. Amen. The name, image, and likeness. And these athletes, whenever they're deciding which school they're going to go to, nowadays it's based a whole lot upon where they can get the best NIL deal, where they can get the best benefit from their name, image, and likeness, right? Amen. So I got to thinking about that, and I wanted to preach tonight, if God would be willing, about God's NIL deal, name, image, and likeness, if you will, God's NIL deal. And I'm fairly certain tonight that the Bible will show us that there's not a better deal anywhere than the one that God's got going on. Amen. I mean, folks are looking for a good deal, but I'm pretty sure you're not going to be able to find a better deal than what the Lord Jesus Christ has got to offer. I mean, there's a transaction that takes place whenever we get in Christ. We trade some bad things for some real good things. Amen. We get far more than what we're worth, friend. I say it's a pretty good deal whenever we start looking at what God's got to offer. Amen. So we find here in Genesis chapter 1, amen, verse 26, it said, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the air." Amen. And then we notice, amen, in chapter 5, amen, it said, "And in the day that God created man in the likeness of God, made he him, male male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam. So God gave them a name. Amen. God created them in his likeness and in his image. But whenever we read the next verse, verse 3, it said Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness and after his own image, and Adam called him Seth. Amen. So there was a change that had taken place from chapter 1 to chapter 5. I know we all understand what that change is. I mean, even folks that are fairly unchurched have heard of the fall of man in the garden, how that Satan beguiled Eve, she was deceived and took of the fruit, the one thing that God said for her to stay away from, for Adam to stay away from, the very one thing that they were to stay away from. They didn't stay away from it, and they disobeyed God, and sin entered into the world. And whenever sin entered into the world, there were some things that were lost. And now let me say this, when Adam was first made in the garden, first of all, we cannot deny Adam had one parent. Is that right? The Bible said that God formed him out of the dust of the ground. Amen. That he breathed the breath of life into his nostrils, and man became a living soul. Certainly Adam, amen, was the son of God, right? Not the only begotten son of God, not Jesus, but he was the son of God. He had no other parent. Who else could he be? Who else his son could he be? He was a child of God. Amen. Whenever he was born that way, amen, Adam wasn't born the same way you and I were born. Jesus wasn't born the same way you and I were born either. Let's remember that this Christmas season. Amen. Adam wasn't born the same way you and I were. He had one parent, and that parent was God. So he was quite literally called a son of God. So he wore the name of the son of God. We know this, that Adam could not die. Amen. Adam also was pure. So the image of God that he bore was that he was pure. He was sinless. There was no sin. They were innocent. They were naked and were not ashamed. They had no sin in them whatsoever. Amen. So he bore the image of God in that he was pure. He bore the likeness of God in that he was eternal. Up until that point, there was no death. Had they not sinned, he would have lived forever there in the garden. Amen. So he had an eternal body. Amen. He was pure and sinless. And he had the name that he was the Son of God. So he was in the name and the image and the likeness of God. Amen. But then when sin entered in, amen, all of that was lost. Amen, mankind. Now Adam was able by faith to retain being a son of God. But mankind would no longer be born as a son of God. Amen, in the way that Adam was. Mankind would no longer just not automatically be a child of God. I know we've got folk running around all over the place saying, well, we're all God's children. No, honey, we ain't all God's children. Amen. I tell you who God's children are. Them that are born again. Amen. And they only. We're not all, we're all God's creatures. We're all God's creation. We're not all his children. And it matters, friend, that we have a name. Can I say that? A name is a pretty important thing. I mean, after all, you're reading the book of Luke. Amen. I think it's about the 16th chapter. I may have that all confused. But Jesus told about a rich man and a man named Lazarus. The rich man died and was buried. Lazarus died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. Amen. You know what the difference between the two of them was? One of them had a name. Amen. The other one didn't. Amen. I tell you, it matters that we have a name tonight. But it was lost in the garden. Man would no longer just automatically be a child of God from birth. Amen. The image of God was lost. The pureness of the righteousness. Amen. It was all lost. And man became sinful. From that point on, I mean, we come forth from the womb. You don't even have a choice in the matter. You are born a sinner. David said, I was shaped in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Amen. The Bible said that we come forth from the womb speaking lies. Amen. I've used this before. I'll use it again. That's an absolute truth. We've all seen them little babies. Amen. You can feed them. You can give them something to drink. Amen. You can change their diet. diaper. You can wrap them up real warm. Lay them down. They'll start squalling like they're dying. Amen. You've already done everything that there is to be wrong with them. And then you go over and pick them up and immediately they stop crying. They're lying the whole stinking time. Wasn't a thing wrong with them. They just want to be held. Amen. I'm telling you, we come forth from the womb speaking lies. We're just born. We've lost the image of God. Amen. It was lost in the garden of the likeness of God. Amen. The eternal, the glorified body, if you will. Adam had to have a different body before sin than what we've got now. Amen. He would have lived forever. There was no death. Amen. But whenever sin entered in, the curse was placed. Amen. And from that point on, the Bible said death reigned from Adam unto Moses. Amen. Death reigned. Amen. So death entered in. The name, the image, and likeness of God were all lost. Amen. But then we find when the time came, boy, I'm sure glad you brought this. Then we find when the time came, amen, that the Lord in His great love and His great mercy sent His only begotten Son into the world. Amen. And we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, all right, let's start in verse 3. He said, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Amen. In the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 13 through 15, he said, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Hebrews chapter 1, he said this, God who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he hath made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding the power when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of majesty on high. Amen. You say, what are you trying to get at? I want to tell you, God sent his darling Son. The Bible said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You skip down about 12 or 13 verses, and he said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ was in the heavens. Amen. He had the likeness of God. He was the image of God. Amen. He had the name of God. But he still, well, you know what he did? He took off the likeness of God and he stepped out. Amen. And he came down to this earth and took on the likeness of man. Amen. You'll find in Romans chapter 8, verse 3, amen, he said this. I just want to prove it to you in the Bible. He said, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Back in Hebrews chapter 2, amen, he said this. Chapter 2, verse 17, he said, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. So Jesus took off the likeness of God, took on the likeness of man, came to this earth, amen, brought the image of God down amongst men, brought the name of God, the image of God, brought it back to man, and died on the cross that we could be born again. So man had lost the name, image, and likeness. Amen. Cross, Christ came down, brought the image of God, left the likeness of God, brought the image of God back to earth. Amen. So we find in Christ that when we get born again, there's three ways you get your name. You're born in, You marry in or you're adopted in. Praise God. I've got good news, good news, good news. In Christ Jesus. Hey, man, you get in Christ, you get born again. Hey, you know what you become? John chapter 3, verse 1 said, behold, what manner of love that God hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. We get the name restored by birth. Amen. You know what? You get in Christ Jesus. You become part of the bride of Christ. You get married in. Amen. Romans chapter 3 tells us, and hereby we have the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Amen. You get born in, married in, adopted in. Three ways you get born again. Amen. Get the name of God back in Christ Jesus. I'd say that's a pretty good deal. He did all the work to make it to where we could get the name back. Ain't you glad for that? In Christ, we find that we get the image of God back. Romans chapter 8 again. There's a whole lot of good stuff in Romans chapter 8, in case you didn't know that. Amen. Verse 29, he said, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. I'm about to have a meltdown up here. Amen. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. I'm telling you, we get the image back in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. With the image, the sinlessness, our life is hid in Christ. Whenever we get in Christ, amen, we become wrapped up, enveloped in him. Amen. We're no longer. The best example I know to use is if you stand out in the parking lot, a plane flying over, a satellite flying over, I can look down and see you standing there. But if you step inside this building, the only thing they can see is the building. Amen. I'm so glad, neighbor. That's how it is when we get in Christ. Amen. It's not that we all of a sudden become holy. It's not that we all of a sudden become pure. It's not that all of a sudden we become righteous in and of ourselves. But thank God, he that knew no sin became sin for us. Amen. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen. I'm glad we're hid in him. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, he said this. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Colossians chapter 3, verse 9 and 10 said this. Y'all all right? He said, lie not to one another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. I'm telling you, whenever we get in Christ, Adam lost the name. Adam lost the image. Adam lost the likeness in the garden. But whenever we get in Christ, we get the name back immediately. We get the image back immediately. Amen. And he's conforming us to look more and more like him all the time. Ain't you glad for that? We get that image. We get that pureness back because we're not trusting in ourselves, but we're trusting in what he did. Amen. But then finally, the likeness. We don't get that back immediately. See, whenever Christ died at Calvary, he redeemed everything. He redeemed everything. Everything that got messed up in man's fall, Even all of creation, he redeemed. It's going to be made new. I mean, he said the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain. Ain't that what he said? Romans 8, 22. He said, for we know the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together unto now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. So it's all been redeemed. But the redemption of the body hadn't took place yet. That's why we're still aging, Brother Delmer. That's why we're waking up with new pains. That's why we're getting closer and closer to the grave all the time. Hey. But in Christ Jesus, there's coming a day. Notice I read earlier, he said, whom he did predestinate, he also called. And whom he called, them he justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. That glorified part ain't happened yet. But it's gonna. It's gonna. Because we got the name back. We got the image back. And thank God he ain't gonna leave us undone. We're gonna get the likeness back also. John chapter 3, verse 2. He said, for it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we shall see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him even as he is. In Philippians, he said, he shall change our vile body and make it like his glorious body. I'm telling you, there's coming a day we get the likeness back too. 1 Corinthians 15, he said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Amen. Hey, he said, for this corruption will put on incorruption. This mortal will put on immortality. I'm telling you, the grave will be swallowed up in victory. We've got victory over death and hell and the grave. I'm glad, for God's in our LD. Let me show you this real quick. Psalm 17, verse 15. He said, as for me, I need a drink of water. He said, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. He said, I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Praise God. We get it all back in Christ Jesus. The folks is running around looking for the best deal. You tell me what deal's better than that. You tell me what pays better than that. You bring him your sin. He gives you new life. You're dead in your trespasses and sins. And he quickens you. Makes you alive in him. Makes you a new creature. Changes your vile affections. Hey! It changes your lust, changes your desires, makes you a new creature. Amen. Gives you a good life down here. Walks with you, talks with you, helps you along the way. Gives you everything you need. And then one day after a while, when this whole body lays down, he'll take it back up and take you to glory with him. Tell me what's a better deal. I don't believe there is one. I don't believe there is one. Name, image, likeness. Them athletes always looking for a good NIL deal. I got a good one for them. I get to wear a name that's above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. He's made me a child of God and made me a joint heir with Christ. I say it's a good deal, thank God. Amen. He walks with me, talks with me, and tells me I'm his own. Amen.
He desires the God of all glory that spoke everything that is into existence, holds it all into place, that can measure the waters in the palm of his hand, measures the stars with the span of his fingers. He desires to hear from me. And he's granted me open access right to his throne. I don't have to be ashamed about it. Yeah. I don't have to be ashamed about it. I don't have to be worried about it. I can just approach him freely. I say that's a pretty good deal. I don't know anybody's heart in the place tonight. That's what the Lord's been dealing in my heart about. God's NIL deal. Sometimes we just need reminding of just how good we've got it. We get to bellyaching, complaining, acting like we're doing God a favor sometimes. Can I tell you, he'll still be God with or without you? I don't mean that as a smart of it, but that's right. We get to acting like we're doing him some favor because we're serving him. We ought to just be thankful he lets us in. Amen. I think we've had it wrong trying to convince sinners for a long time. We've been telling them they ought to accept the Lord Jesus into their heart. I think they ought to get grateful that he's willing to accept them. Amen. I think it's time that we start reminding folk just how worthy we are of death. Just how worthy we are of banishment. Just how worthy we are of eternal damnation. And just how wonderful it is that he'd be willing to take us in spite of all that. Amen. The name, image, and likeness was lost in the garden, but we get it all back in Christ Jesus. If you're here tonight and you're not born again, you can be. You want to know how simple it is to get this NIL deal? He said, whosoever will, let him come. He said, let him come. He said, if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, then you shall be saved. He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said, he that is athirst, let him come. Whoever, come, he said. It's that simple. You won't get a hold of it, you just got to come get it. The door's open. So we stand tonight.